to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 1st, 2023, the Feast of the Holy Name, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
So, my question for you this morning is, what's in a name? You know, it's interesting, when you think about your own name, there's often a story attached. I thought about when we named our kids, our younger daughter, we liked her first name. The second name was her grandmother's name, and my older daughter, her name came from my great aunt and from my wife's grandmother. They carry some of the family names with them into this next generation. Other times, you can look up the meaning of your name in a different language. So, names are important, right? We get names. I have two names. I've told this story before, but I'm adopted, and so the name that you all know, the name I've carried my whole life, is Eric Matthew. But once as an early teen, I was doing an early teen thing. I was hunting through my dad's stuff, you know, looking for stuff. I don't know what I was looking for, but I found my original birth certificate, which had a different name, which kind of blew my mind when I was about 13. My original name was Gene Allen Meister. And I thought, made me think, what would I have been? Would I have been a different person with that name than I was with the name I was given? Does the name kind of shape who you are? Was kind of my question. And that name remained a mystery until about 5.5 years ago when I met my birth mother. And she was able to fill in the mystery of that name, where it had come from, which was really fascinating to me. And of course, you all know, knowing her has been an amazing blessing in my life and meeting all the rest of the family. Today, we celebrate the holy name of Jesus. And we know why Jesus was named that. The angel told Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus. And so on the feast of the circumcision, like in Jewish tradition, 8 days after the birth, you were supposed to go and have your child circumcised, and that made them part of the tribe, part of the people of Abraham, going all the way back to the first covenant that God made with Abraham. And so Jesus was circumcised, and he was named before God, Jesus, on that day. That's why we celebrate today. But of course, in the Bible, names are immensely significant. Almost every name in the Old Testament has a symbolic meaning, which is important in communicating God's word to the people of Israel. All the way back to Genesis, Adam and Eve. Adam, Adam, comes from Adamah, which means earth. So Adam basically is earth man, made from the earth. When God breathed the breath of life into that dirt, it became Adam, and that was his name. Eve means living because she became the mother of all living people. So that's why their names were there. So many names are given to people for different reasons. Sometimes the names change in the Bible to signify a transformation in their life and in their relationship with God. Abram, when he meets God and is called into this covenant relationship, is renamed Abraham. Sarai, his wife, becomes Sarah. And on we go. Each of those names has symbolic meaning. Think of Saul, when he's converted to faith in Jesus, becomes Paul. Or Simon, when he is called to become a disciple, he takes on the name Rocky. Well, Peter, which means Rocky. I always love that, Rocky. He's such a Rocky guy. Those names have power because they shape the identity of the people in the Bible and their relationship with God. And so it is in our life of faith as well. These names take on such power and significance in the life of faith. For Jews, of course, the most important name of all is the name of God. God, the awesome creator of the universe. God who is so holy that when Moses sees the burning bush, he takes his sandals off because he's standing on holy ground. God is set apart from us. And even God's name is so holy that it cannot be uttered or written by an observant Jew to this day. In fact, when Moses is entering into this relationship with God, he's trying to figure out, you know, as you do, who am I dealing with here? What are your bona fides here, God? Are you really God? And he says, I want to know your name. And what does God say? I am what I am. Kind of like Popeye. I am what I am, right? It's a riddle. God says to Moses, I am what I am. Is that really an answer? Well, it's enough. It becomes enough because even that name becomes so holy that Jews write it down in a certain way. It's the four-letter tetragrammaton, YHWH, Yahweh, or also Jehovah. It's the same word in a different way of saying it. But in the Bible, that name is not written by Jews. Instead, they substitute Adonai, which means the Lord, because they want to preserve the holiness of God's name. That holy name, that amazing, awesome power of God contained in the name is so important that when they build the temple, they say, this is the house where God's name is going to dwell. The symbolic Ten Commandments of the covenant are placed in the ark in that temple as a sign of God's presence and holiness. And so it's really significant in our Old Testament lesson from Numbers when God is commanding Aaron, who's the first of the priests of Israel, and his sons who become a group of priests, when they're going to bless the people, there's that beautiful blessing, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. To see God face to face is the aim of all of our life. But then he says, my name, when you bless the people, you are placing my name on them. Isn't that lovely? Now, forever after, the people of Israel will carry the name of God in them and with them. And we as Christians continue this legacy. When we baptize a child, at that font over there, right before the baptism, I always ask the parents, name this child. Now, I've been accused of doing that because I have a terrible memory and I don't want to forget the child's name. But there's more to it. It's like the circumcision of Jesus in that that baptism is when that child is named before God in a special and holy way. What we used to call a christening, right? If you were raised Roman Catholic, did you receive an extra name at your christening? That was a custom. I don't know if it's still a custom, but often you would get a spiritual name that would be added to your names when you were christened because the naming was important. And so we say, name this child before we pour the water on their head and baptize them into this family of faith. And we bless them, and in that moment, they too are carrying the name of God. Because in Jesus, we become God's children. I love this passage from Galatians, very similar to a passage from Romans. It speaks to my heart as an adopted person, because Paul is saying that our relationship with God is precisely like an adoption, where in the Old Testament, God said to his people, once you were no people, but now you are my people. Once you did not have a name, but now you have my name. And so in baptism, we are adopted into the family of God. No longer slaves, Paul says, but sons and daughters. And if sons and daughters, then also heirs. Think about that, heirs of God's inheritance, of God's life, of God's majesty, of God's holiness, of God's awesomeness. All of that is our birthright and inheritance as the adopted children of God, those who bear the name of God, who have been blessed, as Aaron blessed the Israelites, to carry the name of God. So this New Year's, as we think about the year that's passed and the year that's coming, right? This is kind of that pivot point, a lot of reflection. I don't know about, do you ever make New Year's resolutions? I sometimes do. I think my longest resolution lasted about 3 months, and my shortest was about 10 minutes. I don't know how valuable they are, but it is a time of reflection, isn't it? We think back on where we've come, and we think about where we're going. And I think the resolutions speak to a yearning in us to become better, to fully live into the life that God is calling us to. I think we want to seize that opportunity, to look at this blank slate of the year to come and to say, what can we be? And as we do that this year, I want us to also think about our names, the names that we were given by our parents to carry on a family legacy or to be invented as a wonderful legacy from a mother to her daughter, or whatever the story of your name is. But I want us to think even more deeply about the name that we carry, the name Christian, brother and sister of Jesus, who himself carried many names, right? He was Jesus. He was also called Emmanuel, which is God is with us. He was given many titles. He was called the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He was called Son of God, which means Divine One. He was called Son of Man, which means the Human One. All of these names informed and helped to give direction to the ministry and salvific work of Jesus. So what about us? What does it mean for us to live up to and into our heritage? What does it mean to carry our names forward into this world and to bear the image and the name of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ? How will we live into that name in this new year?